Chapter 6, Media. Fish where the fish are biting. Now, media has gotten a bit of a bad reputation lately. Much of it has turned into polarized, politicized, untrustworthy crap. Now, social media companies are viewed as hostile to certain perspectives. Americans' trust in the media has cratered in recent years, but that doesn't mean media doesn't work. We're all consuming media every day in some format. Where do your perfect customers consume their information, and what format do they trust? So here's a whole bunch of them. I'm going to tell you what my favorite ones are. So there's TV, radio, newspapers, magazines, podcasts, books, audio, print, electronic, live events, online events, direct mail, email, mobile text, telephone, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Telegram, Twitter, TikTok, Snapchat, Clubhouse. How about Zoom? Okay. So what are my favorites right now? I like podcasts and YouTube. I don't read much media anymore because most of it is crap, I tell you. I haven't purchased a newspaper or a magazine in a long time because I've got no patience now and I love my Kindle. I read a lot of Kindle books, a lot of Kindle books. So think about what are yours. Now you need to determine where your messaging needs to live to reach the maximum number of your perfect prospects and clients. What is the most effective recipe of different formats and channels to increase awareness, share your transformation stories, or convert prospects into customers? Now, one thing I didn't put on here, not exactly, there's live events, there's also masterminds, coaching programs. I'm a huge believer in one of my best places to meet the highest quality people are places that have a high threshold to get in. They're expensive and they require travel. So for example, belonging to an organization like Strategic Coach, YPO, EO, Genius Network, Tony Robbins Platinum Partners, places where people are investing in their personal growth. They want to be around like-minded, abundance-minded people. And hate to say it, but it's the truth. The more expensive it is, generally speaking, it keeps the riffraff out. And some people will pay a lot more to be around higher quality people, especially if they are people who've done the work. So the more you do the work, the more you want to be around people who have done the work. Fighting media overwhelm. The average human attention span is now shorter than a goldfish's, which, by the way, is only 9 seconds. They've got us beat by a second, and ours is dropping rapidly down to 8 seconds from 12 seconds in the year 2000. Website page views last an average of only 10 to 20 seconds. Users read 20 to 28% of the words on a web page, blog, or article. The average person picks up their phone 344 times per day, every 4 minutes, unless you're Generation Z, and it's probably double that. But that's just the start of it. Aside from the number of distractions, the frequency of exposure has increased significantly too. Americans are exposed to an estimated 4,000 to 10,000 ads per day. By the way, most of them suck, okay? It's a thumb flick, swipe right world. So instead of just complaining about it, what are you going to do about it? It all comes down to knowing your market and developing messages that instantly connect with them in the media that most rely upon, trust, and enjoy. So here are the 12 laws of media. Number one, focus on one channel at a time. Number two, never fall in love with a media channel. Number three, choose which medium you work best in. Number four, engage with the right people. Number five, play the long game. Number six, execute imperfectly. Number seven, do not compare yourself with anyone else. Number eight, repurpose and repackage wherever possible. Number nine, share the heavy lifting with complementary, non-competing businesses. Number 10, go for value. Number 11, understand and model the greats. Number 12, be a relentless student of direct response. Number 13, you're an attention-getting entertainer. That one, by the way, was a bonus one, but it is really important. This is something that Tony Robbins told me a few years ago. I was working with him on a project, and he turned to me kind of out of the blue. We had set up a camera. It was when he was early on, not doing any social media at all. I was convincing him he didn't need a big team every time he wanted to create content. He could do it himself and put it online. And the honest to God truth was at first I was like, because he was not a technically minded guy. But he turned to me and he said something that really, really hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, "Mike, I'm an entertainer. 80% of what I do is entertainment. 20% of it is content." And at first I hated him for that. I'm like, here's this guy I'm looking up to. He's like got all the answers. One of the smartest, best presenters, performers, communicators I'd ever met in my life. I mean, he is just incredible. And it wasn't until years later it really hit me how important of a moment that was. But the other part he said is, he said, if I'm not in the business of entertainment first, people aren't going to pay attention. They're not going to listen, and they ain't going to stick around for the whole show. And one thing Tony used to do, he doesn't do as long of events now. They're down to like 4 or 5 days on the long side, 3 days otherwise. But he'd be out for 16 hours at a time with two little breaks, and people would go in there and not eat anything. They'd have like a, you know, breakfast when they showed up and one meal at the end of the day, and they just go and go and go and go and keep on coming back. So the point of this is, you're not going to be Tony Robbins. I'm not going to be Tony Robbins, but that guy knows how to entertain. And always remembering that if you don't get someone's attention, you'll never get a chance to get paid for what you do, what you love, what you're great at, or whatever it is your business produces. You're in the entertainment business and you got a lot of competition. All right, so let's go through a few of these. 13 laws of media. Number one, focus on one channel at a time. It is tempting to try to increase your media presence in one big leap, but trying to do too much at once is a recipe for frustration. Don't spread yourself too thin with your media production. Treat different forms of media like the plate spun on sticks by circus performers. Focus on one plate first, and once you get it spinning, then you can add to the next and the next and the next, and make sure you have a workable strategy for each channel before you add another. And I'll just tell you right now that when we get into the multipliers, I'll give you some of the best multipliers that really answer these questions for you. If you're wondering, what media should I focus on? The answer is wherever the buyers are, wherever your buyers are. Number two, never fall in love with a media channel. Just because a channel exists does not mean you need to use it. Don't listen to the gurus who say you have to be on TikTok or Twitter or whatever. Not every platform works for every business or every business owner. Do what works, nothing more, nothing less. I've met plenty of people who think they have to have a podcast or a vlog or a book or whatever, but their ideal client isn't anywhere near that channel. For instance, a lot of businesses out there are wasting a ton of time trying to go viral on TikTok when their ideal client doesn't even know what TikTok is. If a channel isn't connecting you with a perfect person, dump it like a bad date. Now I'll give you a real life example. My perfect client wouldn't get caught dead farting around on Instagram or TikTok. They might follow their family or their friends on Facebook once in a while, but they probably pay someone to get on there for them. And if they post, they have them do it, or someone checks on it and then gives them a summary of anyone they want to respond for. Okay, they're not wasting their time there. I pay someone to get on mine. I never go on social. It's a complete time suck and it sucks my soul. I hate it. So do I use it? Of course I do. It does create some initial connections and people will say, "Man, I see you everywhere." That's useful from a branding point of view. But people who are interested in solving billion-dollar problems aren't monkeying around with $5 platforms. Next up, number three, choose which medium you work best in. Not everyone was meant to be on video or to write a book or to host a daily call-in podcast or radio show. Written word, audio, and video, which one do you work best in? My friend Robert G. Allen puts it this way. Are you a speaker who writes or a writer who speaks? Take the easy route to content creation. I'll sit down and think about it using just a pen and paper, then picture to text it into Google Doc. Other times, I'll record an idea right into an AI transcription service like Otter.ai. Other times, it's a video to a VA who will transcribe it for me. Use whatever increases the likelihood that you'll actually create something. Number four, engage with the right people. The purpose of media is to increase engagement with your ideal market. And it's easy to fall into the trap of vanity metrics, getting fooled into believing your marketing is working based on the number of followers you have on various platforms or your likes. It doesn't matter if you have a blue check mark and a Twitter following of 100,000 if none of them ever buys from you. Keep your eyes on the prize, your bank account. Number 5, play the long game. Developing content is both a sprint and a marathon. You must do it daily, but it can take an extended period of time until you see results. So before you get started, commit to the long haul. Don't judge the success or failure of your efforts in the short term. Plan on waiting at least 90 days to measure impact, and really 6 months. And if you're not willing to put that amount of time into it, you probably shouldn't do it at all. Number 6, execute imperfectly. Don't overthink about getting everything in order before you start producing. You'll never think you're ready. Instead, jump in and adjust along the way. And if I had waited until I knew what I was doing before recording my first podcast, writing my first book, or recording my first video, I never would have started. You'll only be able to improve if you take that first step. Start earlier, fail fast, fall forward, and keep trying. Experimentation is encouraged. It's not just encouraged, it's required. Imperfect and published is better than perfect and unpublished. Number 7, do not compare yourself with anyone else, even though you're going to do it anyway. It's easy to look at an Instagram influencer, YouTube personality with millions of followers or subscribers and get discouraged, think you're never going to catch up. But all of us, even the big guns, started at zero. If you ever find yourself falling into that comparison trap, always take note of how far you've come and compare your current progress only to where you've come from, not to where you're going or expect you should be or where anyone else sees it. If not that, make sure you read Dan Sullivan's book, The Gap and the Gain, also with Ben Hardy. Number 8, repurpose and repackage whenever possible. My motto is create once, use 100 times. And whether it's turning blog articles into a downloadable report, a book into an audiobook, a series of videos into a course, seek new ways to repurpose and repackage your material. I create my content once, then distribute it in multiple formats. I call this multicasting. So for example, these words you're reading now are ones I dictated and transcribed. I start with a bullet list of ideas I want to cover. I speak my thoughts into my phone and I pass it on to an editor to clean it up and make it print ready. Always be thinking about how else you can reuse your content. Number 9, share the heavy lifting with complementary and non-competing businesses. During a recent Superpower Accelerator session, I shared an idea with Stephen Marler for easily producing content for a book he wants to create to promote his advanced body scan business. He was committed to writing a book, but wasn't sure he had the time, content, or stamina to do it himself. And I suggested that Stephen get 5 of his most trusted vendors or partners to contribute a chapter or two to his book. And not only does it make content creation easier, but it also gives the contributors a vested interest in making sure the book is a success. They'll gladly promote something they helped create. That's exactly, by the way, what Tony Robbins did in his most recent book. It's just a compilation of a whole bunch of content produced by a whole bunch of other high-value influencers. Number 10, go for value. Want to make sure the content you create has the best chance of landing with your target audience? Stop thinking about marketing and start thinking about value. Load your material with valuable insights people can use in a format they can easily access and digest. This does 2 things. First, it creates genuine goodwill in the marketplace, and second, it removes the burden to perform. When your focus is on the end user, the rest takes care of itself. And if you're looking for something specific, here's what I do. You start with use cases. So for example, what I did with Justin Donald when we created The Lifestyle Investor is I said, tell me 10 stories about investing that you did. Let's break down the investments step by step. And we ended up turning that into the commandments, which became the 10 commandments of lifestyle investing. All they were is 10 stories, 10 investments. I usually have people tell me 10 transformational stories, clients or customers that they've changed their lives. That becomes the body of the content. Every one of those chapters are great videos, their podcast interviews, their articles. That's what multicasting is. Number 11, understand and model the greats. The best advertisers throughout history, people like David Ogilvy, Dan Kennedy, Claude Hopkins, John Caples, Jeff Walker, Eugene Schwartz, John Carlton, Frank Curran, Joe Sugarman, and Gary Halbert, to name a few, have been responsible for breakthrough advertising promotions that captured the imagination of the masses and compelled them to buy. So if you're serious about becoming a better marketer, create your own swipe file of ads and frameworks. And while media channels may have changed, basic human psychology has not. Don't be a dick. Don't copy their material and distribute it as your own. You're using their work as a launch pad. Model it. Number 12, be a relentless student of direct response. Now, it's ironic when I hear business owners complain about getting bombarded with advertising and media channels. Instead of complaining, they should be paying attention. If an ad is popping up again and again, it's because it's working. Use it to inform your efforts. Click to the next page, sign up, buy, see what other people are using to convert prospects to their offers. And you never know when you're going to stumble upon a great copywriting or marketing idea that you can model. Number 13, you're an attention-getting entertainer. And remember what I told you about Tony Robbins when I was working with him. You're 80% entertainment, 20% content. So before you can get paid to do what you do, you have to get attention, gain trust, establish thought leadership, status, authority, and then convert that reader, listener, viewer, attendee referral into a buyer. And if you don't have all the customers you want, you talk too much, you teach too much, and you aren't good at all the above. So I say this to all my people, you talk too much, you sell too little, you teach too much, and you sell too little. So start listening, start selling. So putting it all together, a real-life example of what we did with Justin Donald can help you see how all the pieces come together. So when I met Justin, he had a unique ability to invest money and generate passive income and cash flow from that to cover his total net expenses. So he had enough passive income to pay for him, his wife, and his child to have a really nice quality of life. And he knew that people out there could benefit from his expertise. He just didn't know how to reach them or in what format. So after a couple conversations, I presented the idea of building a platform and teaching people what he knew. Now, it was easy for me to see the potential because I wanted it too. Everyone I know wants passive income, right? Now, he wasn't just another investment whiz. He was a master at producing passive income. So after going through this process of mindset, market, model, and message, we started talking about what media would best support his business. So we decided on a combination of a magazine article that launched him in Entrepreneur Magazine when I called him the Warren Buffett of lifestyle investing, followed by a book that we took to bestseller status. So I wrote about him, and then I put him on Entrepreneur Magazine. That immediately showed up in the top of SEO results. And then we created the 10 Commandments of Lifestyle Investing that evolved into the subtitle of his book. Then we published an article in Forbes magazine. We called it the Four Core Principles of Lifestyle Investing. So this, as an example, is a great example of multicasting. We just took the same content and spun it multiple times. So that eventually, he took that book. It became a hardcover, a Kindle book, a paperback, an audiobook. And now here's the great news. That book made it to number one on Wall Street Journal bestseller list, number eight on Amazon overall, which is pretty impressive, also became a bestseller on USA Today's bestseller list. So building on top of that celebrity and fame, Justin has an online course, a best-selling book, a $50,000 investor mastermind where they syndicate offers and deals, a podcast, a one-on-one $250,000 a year coaching program. Now, he came to us with no footprint, no content, and we created a new business that generated $1 million in income in less than 8 months. We also set up impactful connections. We built a strike force team to handle all the details. We created a lot of buzz, authority, super credibility, and we did it in wealth building and money category, which are really competitive. So how did we do this from scratch? We leveraged the most appropriate media channels to communicate to his best right fit audience. In just 20 months, the business was over $5.5 million, and in less, God damn it. In 20 months, the business was over $5.5 million, and in less than 3 years, the business exceeded $8.5 million in revenue. Now, notice how Justin's story unfolded. He knew he was capable of more than he was currently doing, which is his mindset. He wasn't sure how to upgrade his business or his brand, which didn't exist. So I helped him determine the ideal market and what would be the model for transformation he could provide. So, the 10 Commandments of Lifestyle Investing, the book, the course, the mastermind, coaching. Then we identified his message about lifestyle investing, a phrase that appealed to his ideal client. Finally, we dialed in on the media, including magazine articles and appropriate publications, a book, a podcast, and more. And yeah, it worked, but only because we started with the foundation and built from there. Now, it bears repeating, media only works when all the other pieces are in place, and it works better when you layer on the final M, which are the multipliers.